Father, today we give you praise and honor. Yes. Fill us, not just to the brim, but to overflow today, Father. Yes. We ask specifically, Lord, fill us up to overflow. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You believe that this morning? Amen. Thank you, Lord. I want to just get so full, I just want to spill over on everybody else. Amen. Amen. You know, it's kind of like this. You're walking through your house and you have a cup of tea or coffee or something, or any beverage for that matter, you know, and it's filled up to the brim, to the very top, okay? It doesn't take very much movement before that thing spills over, doesn't it? I mean, you can blink the wrong way and there it goes over the side of the cup, right? Well, if there's only that much liquid in the cup, it's going to be pretty hard to spill over unless you turn the cup upside down. But if you keep the cup level and there's water in there, nothing's really going to come out. But if it's filled up to the top, to the very top, any little movement, it will spill over, right? See, that's the way that we are to be. We're not to be just a little bit filled, eensy beensy, as we used to say, filled. We're supposed to be filled to the full. Paul even prayed that we'd be filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. So it's those in these last days, especially in the month of January, in 2015, in the middle of the winter, when it's cold out and the sun's not out a whole lot, and you're looking for spring, it's good to focus on the fact, hey, God Himself lives on the inside of me. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Well, I'm telling you what, He will. When you acknowledge that, He will put you over. Last week, we began to talk about this new series called The Law of the First. And I mentioned this, that this particular message, this series of messages that we're going to be sharing for the month of January is going to be life-changing. If you take heed to it, it will literally change your life. In Matthew chapter 6, let's start with verse 25. Matthew 6 and verse 25, Jesus, of course, is, you know, if you have a red letter edition, who's doing the talking here? Jesus, right? So Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for the body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat or food, and the body more than clothing? Well, it is, isn't it? Look at verse 26. It says, behold, Jesus said, look, the birds of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Who feeds the birds? God. He says, are you not much better than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? In other words, by worrying about something, are you going to make it grow? No. Verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment or clothing? Now notice this phrase is used over and over again. Why take thought? Take thought. Why take thought? For clothing. He said, consider the lilies of the field, the flowers, how they grow and how they toil not, neither do they spin. But yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed or arrayed like one of these. And then verse 30 says, therefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, now here's this phrase again. This is the third time, I believe. He says, therefore, take no thought. Say, take no thought. Of all the teachings I've heard in the last 30 plus years, lots of teaching I've heard in the last 30 plus years, I think one of the most important teachings I personally have ever, and I never said this till right now, but I'm thinking about this, one of the most important teachings I've ever heard, ever, that helped me personally was this thing about thoughts. Because I was having some major issues with my thought life. Amen? And like Joyce Meyer says, where the mind goes, the man will follow. Okay? And it's really important that we have the right mindset. And the Word of God has been given to renew our minds so that we think like God thinks. Okay? And so he mentions this in verse 30 again, or in, I'm sorry, in verse 31. Notice this, he says, therefore, Jesus said, take no thought, saying. So how do you take a thought? How do you sign the package? By saying. Saying. Take no thought, saying. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? How are we going to be clothed? Okay? And he goes on to say, for all these things, the things that he's talking about are the things you wear, you eat, the necessities of life. He says, all these things the Gentiles or the heathen seek. See, they're seeking after the clothing. They're seeking after the food, seeking after the necessities of life. But he says, in verse 33, he says this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be taken away from you. Now, that's the devil's translation, isn't it? Well, see, that's the way some people interpret it. You know, when you seek God, you might as well give up everything, take a vow of poverty. You know, that's the stupidest thing anybody ever came up with. Take a vow of poverty? Are you kidding me? Jesus took a vow of poverty so we could have his riches. Amen. 2 Corinthians 8, it says that, you know, Jesus became poor that we through his poverty might be rich. That means a full supply. Boy, that's good news. How about, amen? That's not dependent on the kind of job that you have. Amen. But seek, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, what things is he talking about? Well, we just read the things that you wear, things that you eat, places that you live. Now, the things that you need to survive in this life, right? You need clothing, you need food. Those are basic necessities. You need those things, right? But notice it says that the heathen or the Gentiles, they're making that their chief goal and aim as they're trying to get ahead in life. Okay? I'm working so I can, you know, I'm working my finger to the bone, as people say. You know? It's like the bumper sticker said, you know? I won't quote that right now. But notice in Matthew 6, verse 33 in the New Living Translation, I'll just bring it up on the screen right here. It says, but seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Pretty good, isn't it? Now look at the amplified of the same, you know, Matthew 6, 33. Now some of you look like you're on jury duty this morning. Wipe that frown off your face. Amen. Bless the Lord. This is good news this morning. Praise God. I know your body wants to think otherwise sometimes, but you just tell your body, you put it back, you slap it around a little bit and say, no, get in line, body. Come on. Mind you, pay attention here. He says here in the Amplified, he says, but seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Notice this, his way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given to you besides. Isn't that wonderful? So I paraphrased it and looked at it like this, and I said, if you want something natural, do something spiritual. That's really what he's saying. If you want something natural, do something spiritual. But the way of the world is you do something natural to get something natural. Okay? But he says, seek first the kingdom of God. The number one goal of Satan and his demon spirits and cohorts in the earth today is to distract you and me as believers to not seek first the kingdom of God. That's his number one goal, because if he can get us in that place, and listen, the Bible says that it's the distractions of this age that try to come in and choke the Word of God when the Word of God's sown. We all have to maintain, I mean, if there's ever been a day and an age that we have to maintain all kind of stuff in our life, it's the day in which we live right now. Yeah. Okay? But we have to simplify. I think it's so important that we simplify our lives. Amen. Amen? Praise the Lord. One of the reasons I banned Facebook from my life is I wanted to simplify my life. Amen? Because I found myself when I was on there, if I would have listened to Lynn, I would have passed the test a long time ago. She said, you're wasting your time on that thing. I said, well, everybody's doing it. But the Lord, through her, was trying to tell me, you don't need to waste your time with that. And you know what? That was absolutely the truth. But I got involved with it. You know, I thought, this is taking up a lot more time than I need to. You know, it's taking family time away. It's distracting me. Instead of sitting there and being with people and talking with them, looking at Facebook, I thought, I don't need this. Amen? Because you've got so many voices coming at you, people's opinions coming at you all the time. Then you start comparing yourself to everybody else. Then you feel left out. These are feelings that you do not have to deal with. Okay? You try to become a friend with somebody and they don't accept you. So you're causing yourself issues all right away. Okay? Life was so simple when we were growing up. Hey, if you wanted to have fun, you know what you did? You got yourself a baseball bat. If you didn't have one, you'd make one. You'd get down to the baseball park and play baseball, and you would communicate, you know, instead of getting out the video machine and, you know what I'm saying, sitting in front of the television for 10 hours. That's not real fun. That's not real interaction, okay? I'm not criticizing people that do that. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm saying there's a higher way to go. But he says, seek first. When I got rid of Facebook, it added peace to me. Okay? Boy, I could really meddle here. You know, I could go over the place here. But boy, you gotta keep... This is all part of keeping your priorities right. Are you with me now? It's very, very important that we simplify. It's so easy to complicate things in our life, isn't it? But if we whittle things down and ask ourselves, what is most important? What is the most important thing in my life? What is the priority list of my life that I need to really maintain in my life? And everything else that's junk, cut it out. Just cut it out. Cut the fat out. Just get it out. Amen. And you'll be much more peaceful. You'll be much more happier by doing that. Amen. Praise God. Everybody still love Pastor Keith this morning? Amen. Okay. All right. So he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first. Not second, not third, but seek first. And we said last week that there's a lot of misconceptions about this, because this doesn't mean necessarily that you have to go live in a monastery somewhere and wear a long robe and ring a bell. There's a lot of misconceptions about, if I seek first the kingdom of God, that means I'm not going to have any fun anymore, I'm not going to have any friends anymore. That's the furthest thing from the truth. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, we're talking about the law of the first. Seek what? First. First. Say first.
First.
Okay? I don't know about you, but when God says first, he means first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If we do this, now, when I say this, I'm not indicating or trying to say that we are not doing that. But I think we all need a refresher course. Okay? If you work for any kind of company or so forth, they'll have, you know, continuing education things where they'll, you know, that you'll go to and you'll get refreshed on some things if you're in a company or whatever. You know what I'm saying? How much more do we need to do that with the kingdom of God? And stay focused. That's one thing I so like about our men's group, is because we come together, and the Bible says iron sharpens iron.
Amen.
And we sharpen one another. We pray for one another. We stand with one another. We're encouraged by each other's communication. Amen? It's on my mind because we just had it yesterday, praise the Lord. But see, we talked about last week, okay, if Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God, my first question that I had years ago was, how does one do that? How do you do that? How do you do that? How do you see first the kingdom of God? Go over to Luke chapter 17, and I want to show you this. We looked at this last week, but I want to get a little more detailed today. Praise God. If we're to seek first the kingdom of God, we have to first of all locate what we're seeking. Isn't that the truth?
Amen.
To locate what we're seeking. Someone says, you know, I'm going on a trip tomorrow. And you say, where are you going? Not anywhere in particular. I'm thinking, well, how are you going to know when you get there? Okay? If you don't know what you're looking for, you're going to have a hard time finding out because you don't know what it is. But Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So let's look and see, okay, where is the kingdom of God? Now, most people's idea of the kingdom of God is they think of heaven, okay? And there is the kingdom of heaven. There's the kingdom of God. These are two different things. Okay. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of heaven. Now, of course, they affect one another. Okay. But notice here in Luke 17, verse 20, when he had demanded of the Pharisees the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, Jesus said this, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Let's bring up on the screen the Amplified of that translation. Thank you, brother. It says, asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he replied to them, saying, the kingdom of God does not come with signs to be observed or with visible display. Nor will the people say, look, here it is, or see, there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you, in your hearts, and among you, surrounding you. Okay? Now, this came as an amazing surprise to me years ago, because I had no earthly idea that the kingdom of God is actually on the inside of me. The kingdom of God. Kingdom. A king has a domain. That's what that means. King, domain. And God, through Jesus, through the person of the Holy Spirit, when you made Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior, He set up a kingdom on the inside of your heart. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
What's the big difference between Christianity and all the major religions of the world? Well, the number one reason is the God that we worship literally comes to live and dwell on the inside of us.
Amen.
Those servers are Buddha. Can you imagine if Buddha tried to fit? Wouldn't fit. Big bald fat man. You don't understand what I'm saying. Or Muhammad or Confucius or any other guru that's out there. Christianity is different because the God that we serve literally comes to live on the inside of us. Hallelujah. T.L. Osborne, you know, if you've ever heard of T.L. Osborne before, but, you know, he's in heaven now. But he had one of the most tremendous failures before he had a success when he was going overseas. Now, if you know anything, I'll come at it like you never heard of him before, but he felt that God told him to go overseas and do missions and things like that, you know. And he went over there initially very frustrated. He went over there and had what he considered failure, no fruit from his labors, just worn out. And he came back after several weeks in utter frustration. And he began to ask the Lord, now, Lord, I believe you called me to go over here. I believe you spoke to me to go over there. And the Lord began to show him that what he needed to do, first of all, was to meditate that God was on the inside of him. Okay? And sometimes we can put the cart before the horse and we can, you know, God can speak to us. He can tell us a word, we make a sentence out of it.
Yeah.
And there's timing on everything. There's timing on everything. Timing is very important in your life, okay? If you get the wrong timing and the wrong season, it can be disastrous, okay? So he came back in utter frustration. I mean, literally frustrated. He began to ask the Lord, inquire the Lord about it. And the Lord said, take some time and think about the fact, you know, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here, about the fact that I live on the inside of you. So he took several weeks, yea, months, and he began to meditate on the fact that God was in him, that God had called him. And now it was the time to go back over to the same location in Africa. So he got his ticket, got on the plane, went over there, he and his wife and his team over there, and things began to break loose. Miracles, signs, and wonders. I'm talking on the Book of Acts scale. Serious signs of wonder. Jesus appearing in the clouds in front of all these thousands of people. Okay? We have a picture of that, actually. And, you know, I'm talking signs and wonders like the Book of Acts. And he said he attributed it to this. He became God inside minded. He became God inside minded. What was he doing? He was acknowledging the kingdom. The kingdom of God is within you. Amen. You know, John the Baptist, he was the last prophet that showed up on the scene before Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus said concerning John the Baptist that there's, of all the prophets throughout the Old Testament, there is no greater prophet than John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. Amen? And he was standing right there when he said that. Don't you know he's feeling pretty good? He said, stamp of approval. John the Baptist, you're the greatest prophet that has ever existed and all through the Old Testament. But Jesus didn't stop there. He said, however, he that is in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Now, what's that mean? See, the kingdom of God did not start in us until after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. The kingdom of God was among them. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is among you, but not in you. See, the Old Testament servants of God, they didn't have God in them. God was with them, God was for them, but God was not in them. You and I, God is with us, God is for us, but also God is in us. God inside minded. Oh, glory to God. So he went back over where there was utter failure and frustration. And the devil tried to keep you in that place of failure like that because, you know, this is the year for us to break through some barriers. Amen. Some mindsets that have been holding us back. Hallelujah. You know, stinking thinking. I'm talking all of us. You know what I'm saying? Limited thinking. God wants to do some things for you this year that you never dreamed or imagined. But we have to go about it His way. Okay? The Father's way. So here comes Tell Osborne. He goes back overseas and starts ministering, as I said, and had signs and wonders and miracles. And someone asked him, what is the key to your success? He said, becoming God inside minded. Now that would not only work for an evangelist, but that would work for a housewife. Amen. That would work for a mill worker. Amen. That would work for a street person. Amen. Or whatever occupation or lack thereof that you have. When you become God inside minded, all of a sudden, the limits are lifted off. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of you might have heard this before, but I'm going to say it again. So this might be the second or third time you've heard this. Years ago, there was a guy at a local circus. I was reading about this. I actually read a book about this. And it was a local type of thing. It wasn't like Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. You know, this was a local thing. You know, a guy gets up and pulls the rabbit out of the hat, that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Real local type stuff. And this guy had a thing called a flea circus. And he had a jar full of fleas. That thing can jump from the ground up to about your waist. You know what I'm saying? They can jump as little as they are. And so he had a jar, one of these mason jars full of fleas, hundreds of fleas in this jar. And there was a big sign there, say, look at flea circus. So people are like, what in the world is this? They're looking at it, you know. And he, after the people gathered around, he went over there and he undid the lid and everybody backed up. Because they saw him jumping around inside there, you know. They don't want to get fleas on me, you know. And to their utter amazement and surprise that they turned the lid off, not one flea jumped out. And he picked it up and he's walking around with this. And they're like, no. But everyone noticed the fleas aren't coming out. They're not jumping out. Why not? Here's why. Because when he put the fleas in there, he put the lid on. And those fleas would jump as hard, as high as they possibly could. But every time that they would jump, they would hit their little head, their flea heads, on the top of that lid. Bam. Jump. Bam. Jump. Bam. Jump. Bam. And so after a period of time, I don't know how long it took, but that little flea got in his brain, you know, if I just cut back on my effort, I can avoid this pain. And so instead of jumping with full force, they cut it back to half. And so they would only jump just a little bit, just a little bit. And they got it ingrained in their little flea brains that if I only jump so high, I'm not going to smack my head against the top of this lid. Now, here's the thing. They got so acclimated to only jumping so high that when he took the lid off, they didn't know it. Now, it's no longer the lid that's holding the fleas in. It's their own thinking. Yes. Jesus came down, screwed the lid off, removed it, and we can jump as high as we want now.
Amen.
You understand the analogy that I'm making here? But the devil wants us to think. Amen. The devil wants us to think, no, you just stay down where you're at. Don't you even try. You're going to fall flat on your face. Are you with me now? But no, Jesus has taken the lid off. He's lifted all the limitations. We can go far and as high as we want to now. Amen. I don't know about you, but that excites me. Thank you, Lord. So the kingdom of God is where? It's within you. And Brother Osborne, this is the turning point in his life and his ministry. And there was documented. I mean, I got a book full of it where people that were crippled and maimed. And I mean, people that didn't have limbs. And the maimed, the Bible says, were healed in the book of Luke. That means an arm appeared where there was no arm. An ear appeared where there's no ear. That's not a healing. That's a miracle. And those are the kind of things that we will come back to in these last days before Jesus comes. People that are missing parts. There was a guy that I was doing some research on YouTube about people that died and went to heaven. And, you know, some of it you have to kind of weed through it, you know, but there are some real legit people. And the one guy, his name was Gary Wood, and he went to heaven. And this guy has a legit ministry, really powerful ministry. But he was in heaven, and he said his angel took him to this one room. And he opened up the door, and when he looked in, he saw all these body parts.
Hallelujah.
And he saw all these body parts, like arms and legs and hearts and livers and brains and all kind of stuff. And he was just puzzled, and he asked the angel, he said, what is this? What does this mean? He said, well, this is the room of unclaimed parts. He goes, they belong to my children in the earth, if they claim it. Now think about that. So those parts are in heaven, but they belong here on this earth. Now, didn't Jesus say, pray that the will of God be done on earth, even as it is in heaven? Are there any people sick in heaven?
No.
Anybody have cancer in heaven? Anybody
no.
have tuberculosis in heaven?
No.
Any poverty in heaven?
No.
Any street people in heaven?
No.
Well, if they are street people, they're walking on gold, praise the Lord. Is nobody holding up signs, I work for food. Oh, I'm telling you, there's no lack, there's no sickness, there's no disease in heaven. Well, Jesus said, pray that the will of God be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. Praise God. Well, a little child could figure that one out. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, first thing we have to do is seek first the kingdom of God. We have to locate where that kingdom is. It happens to be on the inside of us. Amen. Go to Romans 14. Romans 14, verse 17. We saw this last week. It says, the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So, when you nourish your inner man, that's what we're going to finish today talking about. When you nourish your inner man where the kingdom of God dwells, you're going to have peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Do you know you can't find a sad Holy Ghost? But there are some believers that think, you know, that every time the Spirit moves, oh, you know, that you have to cry all the time. Well, listen, you can be laughing and crying at the same time.
Amen.
I find myself sometimes I get so drunk in the Holy Ghost that I'll be crying, but I'm laughing at the same time.
Amen.
And your mind's like, what is going on here? But see, when you're filled with God, when you get filled with God, how do you know when you're about to spill over? You got joy.
Amen.
Woo, glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. When you get filled with God, you get so filled with joy and you get so filled with peace. My God, I mean, people will be chasing you down to get what you have. Instead of sad Christian. Look like you've been baptized in lemon juice. Sourpuss. Cranky. No, Jesus took the crank out of you when you got born again. Amen?
Amen.
When you get born again, you get righteousness, peace, and joy. I mean, stop and think about this for 1 minute. If you get anything, get this today. If you're God inside-minded, you realize the Lord lives Himself on the inside of you. Don't try to figure that out with this. Just believe it. Accept it. Amen. How many of you here have ever seen a pregnant woman before? You've been there and you've done that, right? Not me. Praise God. And I saw someone that was really probably in their latter ninth month, you know. And I'm thinking, man, she's having a hard time walking, you know. And she's walking around, and I thought, doggone it, there's someone inside her. There's someone inside her. Are you with me now? Now, why do we have such a hard time believing that God lives on the inside of us? If a baby can live inside a mother, and everything that mother eats, that baby eats. Where that mother goes, the baby goes. That baby has no choice. Because that baby's connected through the umbilical cord to the life of that mother. Okay? We are connected to Christ.
Amen.
And everything He has, we have.
Amen.
Everything He gets, we get. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Bless the Lord. So, if I stir myself up, and this has to do with our thinking, we stir up ourselves, you know, instead of thinking about, you know, they wronged me over there. They ignored me. I was supposed to be invited to this thing, and they didn't invite me. Are you with me now? And we get our minds on that kind of stuff, and we start thinking that they hurt me, they abused me, they neglected me. See, what's that going to do? That's going to keep you on a lower level down here.
Amen.
That's going to keep you on a flesh level where you're always being sensitive. Okay? And having your feelings easily hurt. How do I know that? Because I used to be one. I used to be a sissy. Jesus kicked the sissy out. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, we all had a past somewhere, right? We had to come from somewhere. And before you're taught and before you're schooled in the things of God, you don't know any better than just to do what you've been trained to do.
Yeah.
Whatever comes naturally to you. And usually that's the wrong thing.
Yeah, it's good.
Brother Copeland used to say, everything I liked before I was saved was either immoral, illegal, or fattening. He goes, and I like doing it too. But after you got saved, hallelujah, things changed. Amen?
Amen.
But where's the kingdom of God? It's where? It's within us. It's within us. This literally takes the lid off of anything that you feel that you're supposed to do in this life. George Mueller, I don't know if you ever heard of him before, but back about 100 years ago, he felt like the Lord told him to start an orphanage over in Europe in a really poor area where there was many, many orphans. Here's one problem. He didn't have the resources. Didn't have enough to rub two nickels together, he would say, to make things happen. But yet he felt God telling him to start an orphanage for these kids. I mean, there's hundreds of kids that are homeless over in this part of the world. So he began to step out on just the knowledge that he felt, I have a conviction, I'm supposed to do this. And so he asked the Lord, said, no, Lord, you're going to have to provide for this, because if you're telling me to do this, you're going to have to provide for this. And back in those days, this is 100 years ago, they needed like $1 million to survive. Like today, that would be like $10 million or more. And he said this, I mean, it was so humble beginnings, like you wouldn't believe. If you do any research on George Mueller, you'll find out that, go on the internet, do a search. And you'll find information about him. But God would supernaturally bring in resources. Sometimes in the middle of the night, somebody would show up, knock on the door, and then he'd answer the door. Nobody was there, and there's a sack of money there.
Praise the Lord.
Food would, you know, appear out of nowhere. But it started with a man that just was dumb enough to believe God. And take the limitation. There's every reason in the world. I can't do this. I don't have enough resources. I don't have enough money. Isn't that the truth? The devil always tells you what you don't have. Are you with me this morning? Yes. The enemy will always say, you know, you don't have what it takes. You don't have enough. Yeah. You're not pretty enough. You're not strong enough. You don't have enough education. You don't have enough money. That's a big one. You can't do that. Amen. But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
With Him, there is no impossibilities.
Amen.
Jesus said, with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
God factor. See, this is the thing I really believe the Holy Spirit's saying this morning, is God inside minded is so important here. Now, real quickly, let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, if you would. We've already seen here today and last week, where's the kingdom of God? It's within you, right? It's within you. Okay? And so, if we're going to seek first the kingdom of God, we got to seek to build up the inner man. And, you know, today I pronounce to you that, you know, you sought first the kingdom of God by coming to church this morning. Do you know that? You did. You could have stayed home in fellowship with Brother Pillow and Sister Sheets. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? You showed up. And you honored the Word of God. The Bible says, as you see the day of Christ, it says, don't forsake yourself to assemble together in Hebrews chapter 10. It says, don't. Now, one translation says, don't quit coming to church. He says, but so much the more as you see the day of Christ approaching, come together so that we can edify and build up one another. Amen. But notice in Proverbs 20, verse 27, it says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. We would say it like this, because back in those days they didn't have light bulbs, they had candles. We would say it like this, the spirit of man is the light bulb of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly or the inward man. So in other words, if God's going to guide you, God's going to lead you, or God's going to enlighten you, He has to do it via your spirit.
Amen.
You are a spirit.
Yes.
You have a soul, and you live in a physical body. You're a three-part being. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says that. I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The spirit of man looks just like you. When people, I was doing that research, and people that went to heaven, they said they couldn't even tell if they were in or out of their body. Well, that sounds like Paul. I couldn't tell whether I was in the body or out of the body. God knoweth. I was caught up into paradise, into heaven. And so you have all your faculties. You can still hear, see, smell, touch. Amen. And you're not sure if you're in your body or out of your body. Okay? Well, he says right here, I know I'm going rather fast here, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. When a man gets born again, when a woman gets born again, what part of that person receives eternal life?
Spirit.
Their spirit. Their spirit. You still have the same body, and you still have the same mind. The Bible says we're to renew our minds, and we're to present our bodies to God. But the part of you that's brand new, that's born again, that's washed from head to toe, inside and out, wall to wall, is your human spirit. Go over to Romans. I just got three quick scriptures here. Romans chapter 7, verse 22. Notice this. Paul says this. How many of you know that you're more than just a bag of emotions? Amen. Your emotions can take you on a trip and you've never gone anywhere. Your emotions can, mess with you. And sometimes you just have to tell yourself, emotions, you line up with the Word of God right now.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. That's David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Amen. He says, I will bless the Lord. Sometimes I is the real I, the spirit man. We have to tell our mind and our body, hey, listen, we're not going to have a sad day here. I'm not going to let the devil make me cry today. I'm not going to let the devil push my buttons and push me around today. I'm not going to let my emotions rule me.
Amen.
Okay? Because most of the time, the devil's just lying to folks anyway.
Amen.
That's the truth. He's just lying to you. He's trying to paint a picture in your mind. This is horrible. Look what's happening to you. Look what they did to you. But what about the God factor?
Amen.
They said, he said, she said. Who cares? What did he say? What did God say?
That's good. Amen.
Listen, you know, do you know, do you want to know something? You want to hear it? Do you know you can go through the rest of your life as a believer and never have an audible voice speak to you, never have an angel appear to you, and still be led totally by the Spirit of God?
Amen.
There's a danger in people trying to this sensationalism. And sometimes there's, you know, people and ministries that push people in that direction. That can be dangerous. You're not to seek visitations. You're not to seek angels. You're to seek God.
Amen.
All right, you hear me? You can get, people can get on the devil's turf trying to look, oh, I go to this church and every time we come an angel appears. A ball of fire appears right before the podium, you know? Are you with me now? And people, Christian, naive Christians get taken up in that. And they flock to those types of things where, like, well, look at what's happening. He read my social security number. He must be of God. Are you with me now? Listen, the devil, they're called familiar spirits. They know things. They know your address. They know what you did last week. And it's no big deal for them to tell some other person that's following after him to say, you know, they did this to grab their attention. That happened in the book of Acts, chapter 16. Spirit of divination. Now listen, there is the true giftings of the Holy Ghost. There is the word of wisdom, word of knowledge. We're not, that's the real deal. But if people are saying things to attract attention to themselves, there's the first clue. All right? Because the gifts of the Spirit will attract attention to Jesus and Him, not to a human being. Are you all with me? You understand that this morning? Didn't plan on saying that, but I did anyway. Amen. But you can go through your entire life, never have a visitation, never have an audible voice. If I'm telling you, if people want that, thank you, Holy Spirit. If people are pressing in that direction, the devil will accommodate them. You are blessed. Amen. The devil will accommodate if people are pressing and pushing. Satan himself, you know, Paul the Apostle said this in the book of Galatians. He says, don't be surprised that even Satan himself can appear as an angel of light.
Amen.
If people are pressing in that area to see a vision or see an angel or that spectacular, you know, even today, you know, the supernatural is happening in here. It's just not spectacular, but the supernatural is here. And sometimes people miss it. Christian folks miss it because they're looking for the spectacular when the supernatural is already there. How many of you speak in a new tongue? Amen. That's supernatural.
Amen.
Well, you can get so used to it that it's like your brother or sister is living with you. Oh, that's just, you get so acclimated to it, you don't even realize that's a supernatural language. Yeah. I know when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost in 1980, I was working in a paper mill factory in Bridgeville. It's no longer there now, it closed down. But I'll tell you, I got filled with the Spirit of God on a Tuesday or Wednesday night. The next day, I'm at work, and I started like 7:30 in the morning. I'm thinking, I just got filled with the Spirit. I'm speaking in this language I never learned before. I felt literally as if I was drunk. I was with my sister and a best friend of mine. We're coming home from church service that night at a revival meeting, and I literally felt like I was drunk, except that I could drive between the lines. But there was, I just felt intoxicated with the Spirit of God. I felt so much happiness and peace and joy. And I was able to, I could speak in this language, heavenly language. Well, when I got to work that next day, I had to go take a bathroom break, just go in there, shut the door, and just speak in that language a little bit. Oh, my. And if there's ever a way to be God inside, thank you, Lord. If there's ever a way to become more God inside minded. You know, folks, you don't need more education.
Amen.
Not knocking education. Your intellect.
Yeah.
Let's thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What we need is I'm telling you, folks, I believe God's talking to us this morning right now. This is the supernatural I'm talking about. If you saw where my notes are and where I'm going, the Holy Spirit's talking to us this morning. That if you want to become God inside-minded, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost, speak with tongues, because that's an ongoing miracle. I mean, that would be like me walking up to a Japanese person or a Russian person, and all of a sudden I instantly learn that language. Well, that would take a miracle.
Yeah.
Okay? Brother, do you speak German? Sauerkraut. Brother Dave likes that. I know, I can tell. Amen. There is a way that you can constantly stir up yourself, and all you got to do is ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Ghost. If anybody here, after the service is over today, you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you come up and you let us know. We'll pray for you. You'll be filled just like that. Speak in a heavenly tongue. It belongs to you. Only qualification is you got to be saved. If you're born again, hey, it belongs to you. Amen. Now, Romans chapter 7, verse 22 says, "For I delight in the law of God," Paul says, "I delight in the law of God after the what? The inward man." So your spirit's called the inward man. Go to 2 Corinthians 4:16. Now notice this. I got two scriptures left here. The Apostle Paul says this, "For this cause we faint not, though our outward man perish," or is getting older. That's the outward man. That's the body. "Yet the inward man is renewed day by day." What's he saying right there? He said your inward man never gets older.
Amen.
Folks, you know, when you get to heaven and you see someone that's been gone for 950 years, they're not going to be all shriveled up and wrinkled, look like an old prune. Because there is no age in heaven. You'll see Father Abraham, and he'll look as youthful as a teenager. The perfect age of maturity. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Your grandparents and great-great-grandparents that knew Jesus, when you see them, they're going to look young and youthful. I don't have time to prove that up, but it's the absolute truth. The perfect age of maturity, 30 years of age. That's when Jesus Christ entered his ministry, at 30 years of age. But notice it says that though our outward man is getting older, the inward man is renewed day by day. All right, you ready for the last one? Go to 1 Peter, 3rd chapter. So we're talking about seeking first the kingdom of God. First of all, you have to locate the kingdom of God. Where is it? Inside you. Okay? And now we're talking about developing that inward man, seeking first the kingdom of God. Do you know the word of God is spirit food? What, you know, after this service is over, most of us here, for the most part, you'll go eat lunch somewhere. Either go home or go out to a restaurant, you'll eat lunch somewhere. You're feeding your outward man, your temple, your body. Okay? That is what natural food is to the body. The Word of God is to our spirit.
Amen.
Brother Hagin used to call it spirit food. Amen? He has a devotional called faith food. And it's scriptures. Amen? And expounding on the scriptures. And the Word of God is feeding today. It's feeding your human spirit. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
You ever go to a restaurant before and it's a little more money than you're used to paying? And you walk out and you pay the bill and you're like, man, I've just been cheated. Spent about $10 more than I should have. You ever feel that way before? And you feel cheated, okay? There's some restaurants I've been in, I said, I'll never go back there again. Some restaurants, they have good food, but really poor service. They treat you like an old rag. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Moody, cranky. And I'm thinking, bless God, you know, your tip is attached to this. I'm thinking this, you know? And, you know, if you want to, you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, yeah.
Why should a waiter or waitress come out and treat you like a bag of dirt and expect to get a good tip. Right? Only by grace. Anyway, that's beside the point here. At first, yeah, we bless them anyways, that's right. At first, Peter 3, especially if you're going to leave a tip and or leave a track, oh, it better be a good tip. I went out years ago when I was just a teenager. We went out and they had these little, it looked like a piece of money actually. You'd lay it on the floor.
Yeah.
And people thought, there's a $20 bill right there, because it looked just like it, you know. And then you pick it up and you turn it over and it's a track. So it ticks people off, you know. Some guy left one of those for a tip one time. One of our youth groups that we were in, he left that. Instead of money, left that for a tip with a track on the back, gospel track. I thought, you just made a huge mistake. You left this track, but no moolah to go along with it. Let me tell you something. Money talks.
Yes, it does.
The Bible says money answers all things. Amen? And you can use it as a tool to bless people and speak to them. It'll speak volumes to people. Amen? You know, you pay someone's bill off. You pay someone's restaurant bill off, you know, that they weren't expected. That's going to speak volumes to them.
Yes.
You ever do that before? Praise God. Just random acts of kindness. Bless the Lord. One day I was standing in a grocery line. I had gone to grab some groceries, you know. And I thought I chose the wrong line. I'm standing in line. And this was at a local Giant Eagle, you know. And there was an Oriental family in front of me. I think they just moved here. Just got off the boat or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And they had a real hard time figuring. They had all this baby food. I mean, jars and jars of baby food. I mean, I thought, how many kids did they have? You know, and all this stuff, you know, and they were trying to figure out how much money they would have. The wife was like adding up what she had, you know. And this is taking forever. I'm standing behind them. And there's no other lines open. This is like late at night, okay? And all of a sudden, the Lord put it on my heart. He says, pay for the groceries. Now, you want to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Just kidding. And so I listened. I was just listening inside here, you know. So the teller, the lady that was working there, I said, there was a couple of them actually. And I said, can I tell you something? I said, let me pay for their bill. Now, they couldn't understand hardly any English at all. So, you know, they finally got done ringing through everything, you know, and then they're ready to give him their check or card or whatever it was, you know. And he says, no, your bill is taken care of. They're like, huh? They were just baffled. What are you talking about? You know, and they tried to keep giving him their card, you know, to pay for this. And they finally had to say, no, this guy paid for your groceries. And they were just absolutely in shock about this, you know. Now, it wasn't a whole lot of money, you know what I'm saying? It was like 30, 40 bucks, something like that, you know. But I felt like the Lord said, you take care of that right now, you know. Well, afterwards, I mean, they just wanted to kiss your feet after that, you know what I mean? And I said, the Lord God did this for you. He loves you.
Amen.
Okay? And I'm telling you, I don't think they knew what to do with that. Because I don't know if they were Buddhist or Hindu or whatever their background was. But I'll tell you what, they had an encounter with God that day.
Amen.
Amen. But I love when that stuff happens because, you know, you're not pre-planning that.
Right. Yes.
Amen. You're not thinking through. I've seen my son do that just out of the blue, just bless someone like that. You know what I mean? That blesses me. Thank you, Lord. And all right, 1 Peter 3, and we've got to finish here. Praise God. So we're talking about the inward man. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may be won without the word, even by the conversation of the wives or the lifestyle of their wives. What's he saying right there? He said, women, he said, if you have an unsaved husband, if you have an unsaved husband, he said, there's a way to win them without even a word. He said, by the lifestyle. Are you with me? Verse 2, it says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, he says, who's adorning? Let it not be, notice this, the outward. Say the outward.
The outward.
The adorning of the plaiting of hair, the wearing of gold, the putting on of apparel, But let it be the hidden man of the heart. See, there's the Spirit. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is a great price. Now, you know as well as I do that there's been whole denominations that have taught that it's wrong for women to wear makeup, jewelry, so on and so forth, and take this completely out of context. Amen? Back in the day, and there still is, I think, I'm sure there is, Pentecostal holiness churches where they think it's a sin for women to wear jewelry and makeup and even cut their hair. Folks, that's not holiness, that's ugliness. We went to a Pentecostal holiness church one time, and honestly, they have the longest hair. I mean, they put their hair up in the buns, you know, and if they let their hair down, it's going to come down and almost touch the back of their knees. Because they literally think it's a sin to wear makeup, to cut their hair, and that kind of a thing. This is not what Peter is saying right here. He is saying here, don't put all the emphasis on the outward man. Because, you know, if you want to get real specific about it, he's really saying it's wrong for women to wear, to plait their hair, to wear gold, and even putting on of clothes. Now, we know that's wrong. But he's saying, don't put all the emphasis on the outward man, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. You can be really average looking in the natural, but your spirit can overcompensate. Bless God. Isn't that true? Because the spirit of man is what gives you the personality, the color, the vibrancy, the inward man. And none of us here are at a disadvantage because the Holy Ghost is on the inside of us. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, the inward man. Society today has so deceived people that they're so focused that unless you have this type of body, unless you have this type of look, unless your body fat's this amount, you're going to be rejected by everybody that's out there. That's a bunch of baloney. Okay? That's where Satan has deceived many people. Now, I'm not saying don't take care of your outward man. You need to take care of your exercise, eat right, that kind of thing. That's just a no-brainer. Okay? But when people put all the emphasis on the outward man, they're putting all their trust in the flesh and neglecting the inward man. Praise God. Praise God. Your spirit can overcompensate for any inadequacy that you have in the natural.
Amen.
Becoming more. See, sometimes we become so self-conscious, we're looking in the mirror all the time. Do I look all right? Am I okay? Don't get overly concerned about the outward man. Train yourself to look in the mirror once and walk away. We're going all over the place here this morning, aren't we? But God inside minded. God lives in me and He lives in you. I decree and declare that this week, starting today, that your inward man is going to rise up like a mighty giant. And as it was said in the days of old, there are giants in the land. Yeah, there are. There are giants in the land. They're in this room right now. Why? Smith Wigglesworth said, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside.
Amen.
What's that mean? That means his spirit man had much more power over his physical body. Hallelujah. Is the outward man important? Oh, it's so small compared to what the inward man, building up the inward man. Amen. I'm sure you've seen it. I mean, there are people in the natural that they're like on a 1 to 10. They're like a 10 on the natural. Men and women, they're just like, dear God. Well, if it was natural looks alone that kept people together, Hollywood stars would never get divorced. Because you got some pretty flesh. You got some good-looking flesh, right? Men and women in Hollywood. I mean, you thought if here's the epitome of perfection right here. If it was just flesh alone that kept people together, none of them would split up. That a person can be outwardly beautiful, but inwardly they can be ugly.
Amen.
Y'all met some people like that?
Yeah.
And yet, you can get someone that's just average Joe or Mary. Just random names, okay? And they take time to be with Jesus, and they take time to build up the inward man. You become an irresistible force in the land, because it's not just a hunk of flesh just walking around. It's not just you showing up in the room. Say, hey! It's not just the flesh showing up. There's something more than the flesh showing up. It's God Himself showing up. Praise the Lord. See, what's going on this morning is our spirit, man, is being fed.
Amen.
Our spirit's like, whew, yeah. I just ate a 3-course meal. Because these are the principles, folks, that will turn us around in life. Amen. Scripture, and I'll close with this just by quoting it, says in Proverbs that the spirit of man will sustain him even in bodily weakness. The spirit of man, it says a strong spirit of man. That's it. A strong spirit of man will sustain him even in bodily weakness. If somebody knows that verse, or you can just yell it out to me where it's at in Proverbs. The strong spirit of a man or a woman will sustain him or her even in times of bodily weakness. Your true strength is spiritual. Your body, I'm telling you, your physical body is just a hunk of meat. That's all it is. And you take the spirit out of your body, you're going to collapse instantly. You know, you take a glove and you wrap your hand inside, you put your hand inside that glove. Any way you move this hand, the glove moves. The glove is not you. That's just the shell. But you remove the hand from the glove, put the glove down, that thing just flops over. It can't do anything on its own. Well, the Bible says that the body without the, James, it says the body without the spirit is dead. And you take the spirit out of a person's body, that body just collapses. So the real you is that spirit man. I want to leave you with this today. You know, I think every sermon, to be a good sermon, has to be a point of connection and challenge. If a sermon doesn't bring challenge to us, it's not really a good service. It's not really a good sermon. But it should challenge us. Every time I hear a message, it challenges me to come up higher. It challenges me to make more changes. It challenges me to come up higher, not to make excuses anymore. No more excuses, Keith. But to look at that thing square in the eyes and say, all right, we need to deal with this thing. Praise God. Praise God. And so let's thank Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, my Father. Glorify you, Father. Thank you, my Father. Worship you, Father. What we do with our inward man is the most important thing. That is the most important endeavor of each and every day. What we do with our inward man. Think not, saith the Lord, that you have to spend hours and hours a day in prayer for this to take place. But know this, you can walk along. Yea, you can drive along. And you can meditate upon what I've said in my word about who I am inside you. And it will revolutionize. It will change your outlook on life. And it can get, and it will get to the point, saith the Lord, that you'll look back and you'll pinch yourself and say, boy, I feel so different. I'm not the same person I was. I don't think the same way that I did. I'm different now. And know this, that as you take my word and embed it in your mind and in your heart, and you meditate upon my word and what I've said about you, your countenance will change. Your outlook will change. And yea, the circumstances around you, they'll have to change. They'll have to bow their knees and change, because the Spirit that's on the inside of you will overcompensate for any and all inadequacies, any and all fears, and your spirit man will be crowned king. So take time to build up your inner man. Take time to feed your spirit. And take time to enjoy yourself and meditate on the truths and my word of who you are in me. And all shall be well, saith the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we just pray over each and every person today, Lord. Now we've fed from your table, Lord, from the Master's table this morning. We've fed from your eternal word. Now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, as we go empowered with your Spirit. In the name of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May your blessing reside heavily upon each and every one here today. This week, Lord, your blessings of provision and protection and anointing. Hallelujah. Right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. One quick reminder again that we're going to have our corporate prayer meeting this coming Friday.